From Nashville and Charlotte, this is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Each week, our panel of shrinks takes a look at pop culture through the fascinating lens of psychology. Today, we talk about TV in the new year and tell you what we're personally enjoying this week. I'm Dave Verhagen here in Nash, Vegas. I'm a psychologist, author, Comic-Con panelist, and professional roustabout. And in the beautiful city of Charlotte, the Queen City of the South, sits our panel. Frank Gaskell tells people he's a psychologist. We don't know if we believe him yet. He's also an author of the popular Max Gamer graphic novel. He's the founder of AspieCon, debuting this year, and he's a professional dolphin trainer. He's also the least emotionally stable person on the entire panel and perhaps the entire planet. And most of the time, he's usually very happy or very upset about something. How about today, Frank?
I'm not sure what the emotion is, but I am not pleased with the nice weather we're having.
Oh.
I'm feeling the global warming, and I miss winter when there was snow, and I think we're all kind of screwed, and weird animals are going to start invading this area that don't belong here.
Like what, like kind of weird?
Alligators, monkeys.
Coyote.
Things, coyotes, yeah.
You know, when I worked in Charlotte in that office right there, there was a rabid fox I saw a couple years ago.
How did you know it was rabid?
Well, the whole, like, kind of walking sideways and looking all, like, mangy and crazy looking, that was sort of the giveaway.
A sideways, mangy-looking fox probably does mean rabid. Okay. Yep. So there's that.
So we got that to look forward to. And we've also got Emma Kate Wright. Not quite Dr. Wright is here. She's a doctoral intern in psychology. She loves Harry Potter and Game of Thrones and catty reality shows, among other things.
Yeah.
Emma Kate, what's been going on in your life?
Well, I'm pretty excited because I have some food allergies, and I know this already
sounds...
Oh,
that is exciting.
Yeah. Sounds so exciting.
Uncontrollable diarrhea.
But basically, I get to determine whether or not I'm basic. Because...
Basic?
Yes. So, you know, basic white girl, everyone likes or hates gluten. Well, I'm getting tested for a gluten allergy. So I won't just be basic. I'll actually... Be not eating.
I'm not basic. I sometimes have explosive diarrhea if I eat the wrong thing. So I'm complicated.
You know, these
I'm
going to
forget everything that just happened right here. That just...
I want you to come in when you get all, like, you know, swollen or whatnot and say, like, guess what I ate? I'm not basic.
I had bread.
And now I'm dead.
Well, you just heard Jonathan Hederle. He's a licensed professional counselor. He's a substance abuse treatment expert, and he's our certified Asian. And he's written published book chapters on Game of Thrones, Star Wars, and Walking Dead. He's also been a panelist at Heroes Con. And each week, he scours potentially fake or real news websites for stories of psychology in the news. And he serves them up to us hot and fresh in our first segment that we call Being Human.
This first study actually is right in our wheelhouse. So in the Journal of Abnormal Child Psychology, there is a report that indicates kids pick up themes of aggression rather than defending behaviors from exposure to superhero culture. So the BYU family life professor Sarah Coyne decided to study what it was exactly that preschool-age boys and girls took away from exposure to superhero culture. Coyne found that children who frequently engage with superhero culture are more likely to be physically and relationally aggressive 1 year later.
Well, so I thought, you know, this was an interesting study. However, aggression and, you know, I'd be curious to see really what the study centers, like the correlation and the sample size and all that, because really, you know, aggressive behavior is explained better by poor executive control, also language, right? So if you aren't able to control your impulses, then okay, obviously you're going to be more aggressive as a child. And kids also, their brains aren't fully developed, so we'd expect some of that. And also, if you don't have the language capability to express your thoughts, your feelings, then you act out. And so I don't really know if I buy into this at all.
This is yet another of hundreds of studies, and it's really, really hard to measure what they're talking about. But there's one example where they were describing mild versus, you know, more intense aggression. When a kid says, yeah, I like Captain America because he can kill people. Well, like, yeah. I mean, he can. That's Captain America, and that's how kids play. I don't think it's any different than it than it's ever been. I question the methodology and the results, but I do that for all of the articles like this.
Did I ever tell you that when I was a kid, my mother forbid me and my brother from watching Three Stooges?
Because you couldn't watch the Three Stooges.
We could not watch it. There was a whole, like, two-year stretch where we were not allowed to watch the Three Stooges because we would do the whole, like, you know, like, poke people in the eye. We'd do that to each other. But the whole superhero thing, I mean, what I wonder about is, you know, it's if it is really meaningful in terms of, there's a lot of things that when kids are exposed to stuff, their short-term aggression, which is different than violence. Their short-term aggression goes up for a period of time, and usually the period of time is like, you know,
30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes, an hour, and it usually involves more rough and tumble play and, you know, that kind of stuff. So the question is like, all right, is this meaningful? I would imagine that if you expose kids, particularly boys, to anything that's, you know, kind of, whether it's cowboys or superheroes or something, you're going to see a little bit of an uptick in aggression. So
you expose kids to cowboys?
Oh God!
Oh yeah!
Yeehaw! No,
well, giddy up. I think it's important to note, you know, for the record, moral development, and I think that's what this study was kind
of
getting at.
Is this
little
for
bit.
The record?
Yeah, for the record.
Are
no,
you,
but
are
I
you
mean,
testifying?
Is this a better story than your gluten story?
Yeah, okay. No, I liked that story. Thank you very much. But no, so I mean, moral development occurs a lot earlier in kids than originally we thought, and a lot of that's done through play. It's through pretend play where they have this opportunity to kind of test the waters. You know, they're beating each other up or whatever, and mom and dad are hopefully nearby, and they can kind of say, hey, you know, little Susie, little Tommy, you know, hitting is not nice, and then that provides that kind of scaffolding to have that conversation. And so it's just a safe way for them to explore these different moral themes. So I don't know. I'm over this.
You sound smart.
Yeah, that sounded way too serious for the Being Human segment.
Maybe.
If you keep it up, they're going to give you a PhD.
What?
Yeah, but we still won't call you doctor here.
No.
That's fine.
All right, moving on. So we're talking about child brain development in that past study. And this study is looking at a teenager's brain. So we know teens' brains process risk differently. They love taking risks more than any other age group, and that is partly due to the immaturity of the teen brain. But there's also there's a social element. When an adult is around, teens tend to take fewer risks, and their brain shows less reward-related activity after taking a risk. So a new study in developmental science builds on these findings and makes the claim that a teenager's brain is influenced, even to a greater extent, by the presence of his or her mother than by any other adult. So mom's supervision seems to make caution a more pleasurable approach, at least at a neural level. So do you buy it? And then tell me about your relationship with your own mother, Frank.
Well, I'm not sure if I buy this or not, only because the research study itself was pretty limited. It had a very low sample size, and it was basically, I don't know, was it 29 or 26 girls who would drive a driving simulation, and you had to make it through all the lights, and if it turns yellow, do you speed up or slow down? And they would do it where a mom could observe, their mom could observe, or a stranger observes. The result was there was no statistical difference in the behavior. However, at the neural level, because they were measuring their brains at the same time, there was a statistical difference. But just because there's a statistical difference in the brain doesn't mean that's really going to happen. But intuitively, it seems to make sense. I mean, I'm going to probably drive a little more carefully if my mom's around than I'm not when I'm a teen.
Or engage in, you know, risky sexual behavior if your mom's right next to you and, like, watching.
Yeah.
That's really going to probably
there's that
impact your decision-making.
You come from a very awkward family, Heatherly.
Well, they should have studied dads because then, like, would the kids accelerate faster? So then, like, the reward center of the brain be like, yeah, dad thinks this is cool, right?
Or run away from dad after you do it because he's going to beat the living snot out of you.
Or that. So fear.
There's that.
Well, I tend to be a bit of a contrarian when it comes to all this teen brain research because I do believe there's real stuff there. And I think teen brains are clearly still developing, frontal lobe stuff still forming. But there's enough research out there also that says in the right set of circumstances that teens can be very responsible, they can be very deliberate, they can make good choices, they can move into leadership roles. And so I think a lot of times we talk about this teen brain stuff like it's this deterministic thing. You know, it's like the teen brain, they can't make good decisions, they're incapable of being wise, and so we have to step in and set up all these curfews. And that it really, a lot of it has to do, and this is hinted at in this study, with how they're socialized, who they're socialized around. When teens are socialized by other immature people, they act immaturely. When they're socialized primarily by more mature people, they act more maturely. So that I'm not a huge one for this idea that teen brain research stuff predict or means all this stuff that people think it means.
But how does that explain me?
Nothing explains you, Frank.
Nothing
because
explains you.
I wasn't socialized with good or bad people.
You were.
I wasn't socialized.
Raised by wolves, really.
Yes.
That would explain your hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Mr. Fluff Hair.
Now, I do think if teens have maturity to the point where they can step into leadership, can we lower the age of the presidency so that we could have some teenagers run and maybe we could get somebody in the office that would make some sound decisions?
We could maybe get a YouTube celebrity or something in there.
There you go.
Miley Cyrus, maybe. All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about our trending topic, which is TV in the new year. And this is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Hey, this is Dave Verhagen, one of the hosts of Shrink Tank and also author of the new book, Liberia's Son. Liberia's Son tells the true story of UJ Harris, who, as a child, was caught in the crossfire of an unexpected, brutal civil war in West Africa. When I met UJ and learned his story, I knew I had to write this book. I knew I wanted his story to be told. It's a great story of hope, courage, and resilience. It's available at herohousepublishing.com and amazon.com. I hope you'll consider picking it up. Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. Dave Verhagen here in Nashville, along with Frank Gaskell, Emma Kate Wright, and Jonathan Hederle in Charlotte. And our trending topic today is TV in the new year. And we're going to talk about upcoming TV shows that are new, some that are returning, some mid-season replacements, and that kind of thing. So first, let me just throw it wide open. Anything that you guys are especially looking forward to coming up?
I am very excited about The Americans. That show is like my number one, except for Stranger Things, which I'm equally as excited about.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, at this point, The Young Pope should be out on HBO. And I'm super excited to check that out. Haven't had a chance to. And then obviously. Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Spoiler.
No spoiler.
Winter is here.
Spoiler. Everybody dies.
And has sex with each other before
everybody
they die.
Does.
Everyone dies.
Everyone dies, then resurrects from the dead, then has sex with each other, and then dies again. Okay. Jonathan, how about you?
The only thing I'm really looking forward to is MasterChef Junior, and I know that's a different type of television show, but I really like that show. It's fun. We watch it as a family. I'm kind of looking for more positive fluff right now in my life.
Positive fluff. Like your hair. Okay.
Yes. Said Frank, who looks like a llama died on his head.
Really? It's a yak. Thank you.
It's a yak. Jeez.
A yak yacked on his head. So I'm going to go back to something Emma Kate said. I've had the chance to see the first couple episodes of The Young Pope and hated it. Hated it. Yep.
Crap.
It was a chore to watch. And it's very artsy and stylized, and I just hated it. Just hated it.
Pope? What?
I watched the first two episodes and then just gave up.
The previews didn't look interesting to me. I mean, I really was waiting for it to get home run reviews in order to even give it a chance. And it just felt like a misfire in casting and just even subject matter to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, great. Glad you guys liked what I was looking forward to seeing.
I was going to say, you need to come up. You need to come up like with a new one.
You just need to watch Kardashian reruns.
Yeah. No, I'll be watching The Bachelor. Definitely.
Well, but to your point later, Game of Thrones, hooray, although I think we've got to wait a little longer this year.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we're going to have to wait till the summer.
A couple of the newer shows I'm looking forward to are a show called American Gods. Mm-hmm. And also the reboot of 24, 24 Legacy. They've got an African-American protagonist. So it's no longer Jack Bauer. It's a young black guy who's it's got a totally different kind of vibe to it, but it's the same kind of template. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a show about the gay rights movement called When We Rise. I think it's a mini series. There's a show coming up that I think is really targeted more for female audiences, but I've told my wife that we're going to watch it, called Big Little Lies. And part of the reason I'm excited about it is that the pedigree for this show is amazing. It's got like Reese Witherspoon and who else is like the cast is just like,
it's got Laura Dern. It's yeah. got yeah a bunch of, that's on HBO too, right?
Yeah, and then it's also you know, like the writer, the director, everybody. I mean, it's like top notch. So that seems like it'll be pretty fun. And then the other returning show that wasn't mentioned is I'm really, and it's kind of a new show, but it's a returning show, is Fargo, the third season of Fargo.
Yeah,
that's among my favorite shows.
When is that coming back? I hadn't heard an official release date, but to me, the first two seasons of that have been ridiculously good.
Yeah, and for people who haven't seen it, it's really hard to explain, because it is like a show that's set in the same world and has the same kind of feel, but they're different shows. It's coming back in April of this year, but this year it's you know, you have no idea what you're going to get in terms of the storyline, the characters. The characters are all different, but it all sort of exists in the same kind of world or universe. It's unlike a lot of almost anything else that I've seen on television. So let me ask you guys big broad question. We've lamented the state of cinema here. Do you guys still feel like we're on a roll with television? Do you feel like we're still in that golden age, or do you feel like the bubbles burst a little bit and TV's getting less interesting or exciting? What's your take on it, Frank?
Yeah, really?
Wow.
I'll tell you how I feel about it.
Yes, please do.
When I look at all the TV series from, say, starting 2013 to now, who's the guy that walked in the library and started crying because he knew he would never be able to read all the books? You know what I'm talking about?
Frank Gaskell?
Yeah, that's him. That's the way I feel about TV, that there are so many TV shows, and I'm never going to be able to watch them all. Like The Flash and Green Arrow, this new Star Trek show coming out. I've missed out on a lot of different series. I haven't finished Black Mirror.
Yeah.
I'm still happy as a clam, and I see great things coming. I'm concerned that the scope of these shows are so big that we're going to be years between sequels like Westworld. But hopefully that's an anomaly.
How about you, Jonathan?
Yeah, I kind of view television right now from that scene in The Hurt Locker when he goes to the grocery store and there's just way too many options, and it right. just paralyzes him. I actually, almost on any given evening, I waste about 10 to 15 minutes trying to decide what I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
And it really is there an oversaturation of quality material that I just have difficulty sticking with something and watching it all the way through, because TV to me is like music. I build this relationship with the characters and it becomes this ritual in a lot of ways.
Because you're so lonely.
Me so lonely. That's right. And so everything Frank says to me today, it's so ironic. It's coming from him. Like, you have bad hair. You so lonely. You know? I mean, you so rich. Like, what's he going to say? It's like...
Hey, there it is again. I mean,
speaking of the young pope, are you doing confession to me, Frank?
Okay, okay. Uh-huh, that's great.
But the other thing is that it's really difficult nowadays, if you're savvy on social media, to not find out too much. And so there is a degree of, if I want to really have a very pure experience watching Game of Thrones or certain things, you have to do it when it's released. Otherwise, you have to work really, really, really hard to not have some of the more big spoilers just sort of kind of filter your way.
Yeah, I'm with you on that piece, Jonathan. So I still have yet to see the most recent Walking Dead, and I know there was a big death, and I've been avoiding a lot of social media stuff related to that. But yeah, I mean, I honestly only watch maybe 1 hour a day of television. I mean, I don't know what it is. Like, I just kind of disconnect a lot. And so you know, this oversaturation, you know, there's so many options. It is really hard for me to kind of decide, all right, what am I going to watch? And I don't know. I don't know how to handle it sometimes.
Well, I will also add, having a 13-year-old daughter who now wants to watch all these shows has made it even worse.
Right. The show's about,
because now it's like, okay, we're going to watch this again, and I'm going to be another year behind.
Right. The whole stimulus overload, and now you've got, like, competing interests and all that. So let's take a little turn into the psychology of this. Of the shows that you're either interested in that are returning or ones that you have been following, tell me a show that really hit you in terms of the psychology of it. Like, use an example of Breaking Bad. What a great show to kind of get into the psychology of a certain character or a series of characters. That's one of the things we're seeing in television, both in dramas, in miniseries, even in comedy, where the understanding of humans and the depth of portrayal of humans is getting deeper and deeper, which is really cool. So is there a particular show that just really jumps out at you in terms of the psychology of the characters? Frank?
I've got a weird one that I'll be judged for.
Oh, shock.
I am eternally hopeful for the Star Trek television series, and this new series, Star Trek Discovery, which will be on CBS, takes place about a decade before the original series when Kirk did his 5-year journey.
So it's like a Star Wars prequel for Star Trek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the USS Discovery, which was really when they first got out there and started exploring, and I'm hoping that they take that angle of the original series and how you meet people, how they respond in different settings and situations. And I would imagine the fear factor is pretty high for this crew. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
For me, when the original 24 came out, and just fear and paranoia, as well as the psychology of just, do the ends justify the means, where with torture, things along those lines, I found that very compelling, as well as for people in some of those types of roles, what are you willing to sacrifice for the greater good? Jack Bauer's life, personal life, basically is in shambles as a result of his role in CTU and thwarting international terrorism in the United States. The other show, which has been off the air for a long period of time and really kind of died a pitiful death, was the show Dexter, which I found so psychologically complex. This whole idea of someone that has all these homicidal tendencies, and he learns to both fake feeling human, as well as then he channels it to try to have his violent and murderous outbursts towards people that quote-unquote deserve it based upon their own crimes and behaviors.
Yeah, and for me, the obvious response is going to be Game of Thrones. I mean, there's so many characters within that series where, you know, you don't really know. I mean, you feel so much for them. Like, for example, the Hound. I hated him, you know, in the first couple of seasons. I just thought he was this vile, awful human, and then his character just kind of evolved, and you see that he's much more complex, and, you know, has this layer of care to him, and so it's just, you know, I'm loving it.
The show that gets me on the psychological level probably the most is The Americans.
Oh yeah,
wouldn't you agree that show?
That's amazing.
I mean, the levels that show's hitting on, it's like, here's this couple that's pretending to be a married couple, but they really are a married couple, and they really do have children of their own, and they're on every level, they're pretending to be something, and yet there's all this real stuff happening underneath it, and questions about you know, love and loyalty and betrayal, and it's just, I mean, the psychology of that show is just probably as good as any show that's ever been. And I referenced this, the show Big Little Lies, the one with Reese Witherspoon, also has Nicole Kidman, Shailene Woodley, and Laura Dern. But I was remembering the director is the guy who did the Dallas Buyers Club. The writer is the guy, it's David Kelly, you know, the guy, Ally McBeal and Boston Legal. It's really good. But it's going to be this show about these interconnected relationships and the stuff that's not what it seems on the surface. And I think it's going to be a cool little psychological study in there. Anything else that's about upcoming TV shows or just TV in general in the new year that you want to throw out there? Anything else exciting or just frustrating or burdensome?
I'm also looking forward to checking out Nat Geo is doing Genius, which is about Albert Einstein, and it's produced by Ron Howard. And so that's another one that's kind of on my list to check out.
Sounds good. All right.
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, never mind.
No, you go.
No, you say goodbye. No, you say goodbye.
No, you say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, I'm going to say goodbye because it's time for our final break. And we'll be right back with our doctor's orders. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Hi, this is Dave Verhagen. We're glad you listened to the Shrink Tank Podcast. And if you have room for one more podcast in your life, please check out Blew My Mind. Dr. Craig Pohlman and his panel talk about things in pop culture that blew their minds. It might be a love song, a movie twist, a television finale. It's something that blew their minds. You can hear it on shrinktank.com or download it through iTunes. It's Blew My Mind. Check it out. Back again with the Shrink Tank Podcast, Dave Verhagen, Frank Gaskell, Emma Kate Wright, and Jonathan Hederle, and we wrap this all up with our doctor's orders. These are things that we're personally enjoying in pop culture. Emma Kate, what do you have for us?
So there's an artist that I recently discovered called Black Coast the song is Feel Something featuring an artist named Remy, and it's a really cool, easy listening, uplifting song. The lyrics kind of evoke this feeling that things are going to get better, should keep going, and it's kind of just this happy, chill song.
All right, Jonathan.
I recently watched the film Deepwater Horizon starring Mark Wahlberg, and it's a really interesting movie because it's very tense. It's incredibly well made. And Mark Wahlberg is the star, and he basically does nothing. He's basically a fill-in for you to feel like you're immersed in the scenario. But in terms of like anchoring a movie around a character, his is, of all the marquee stars, he's the least relevant of the whole film. Like Kurt Russell, to me, steals the film. And then the other thing is, I've talked about this already, but I took my family to see La La Land in IMAX, and it was a wonderful, incredible experience. We bought the soundtrack. We've been listening to it nonstop. Very charming movie. My 10-year-old, my 13-year-old loved it. Highly recommend it.
I will also say about Deepwater Horizon, I didn't think it was a great movie, but I thought it was a very well-done movie. But the spectacle of it was really remarkable. Like it was, you really did feel like you were on that oil rig, and it really did feel like, man, this thing is going down. I mean, there wasn't a point in there where I felt like, oh, that's a set, or this is a, it really did feel like it was a very immersive experience. It was really good that way. Frank, how about you?
I got nothing, Dave. I just live under a rock.
All right.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks.
Glad it's an affluent rock.
An affluent rock.
And I live under an affluent rock.
Is it gold?
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
That's what I'll say. Mine is a TV show with Tom Hardy called Taboo, and I've gotten the chance to watch the first two episodes. I will say this. I'm not sure it's a great show yet, but he's great. And I'm not sure what the show's really even about in a whole lot of ways. But whereas for whatever reason with The Young Pope, I kind of knew what the show was about, and I knew sort of where this is going. I didn't like it. This one, I don't know. There's something about this Tom Hardy character that just draws you in. He's so good, you know, that just the strength of his performance. But it does, you leave the first episode going, I want to know what this is about. Like, I want to know what's up here and where this is going. So I would say it's worth checking out. So Taboo, It's, I believe, an FX show. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Shrink Tank podcast. We hope you'll check out shrinktank.com for articles and videos and polls about movies, TV, music, books, games, sports, trends, and a whole lot more. Make sure you check out shrinktank.com. And also follow us on Twitter at Shrink Tank Talk and like us on Facebook by searching for the Shrink Tank podcast. And if you do, twice a month on Wednesdays around 1:15 in the East, you can watch us record our show. You'll hear the Charlotte people. You won't hear me, so it'll be a little weird, but you can hear us record it, and that happens at least for the next couple months. We're going to see how it goes. You'll see all the bloopers, all the behind-the-scenes stuff. You'll see the raw cut of it, so we hope you'll enjoy join us for that. Our producer is Sean Beck, who also composed our lovely new theme music. In the Queen City, it's Jonathan Hederle, Emma Kate Wright, and Frank Gaskell. And from Music City, I'm Dave Verhagen. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends and make it a good week. Shrinking.